This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Before we get back into sports, I want to send a special shout out to Johnny Dare and everybody that was a part of his staff. I'm sure by now you guys have heard the news. I got a chance to talk to Johnny Dare for a little bit earlier today. Didn't want to take too much of his time. I certainly understand the impact that his show has had as somebody who has worked in this building for a very, very long time. I know the impact. I know the respect that Johnny had, not just in this building, but in this city. So I certainly want to at least send my shout out to him. Certainly disappointing news. It has certainly sent shockwaves through this building. All you can do is you just know that at some point your number is going to be called. I think that has been pretty much proven in radio. I don't know when my number is going to be called, but I'm good for right now. Rob is good for right now. So that is all I am focused on. And I at least wanted to communicate that with you guys before we move forward in today's show. We do have a lot to get into. There is a lot to talk about in the final hour of the show. I want to spend a little bit of time on this and then we can move on. I do want to spend a little bit of time talking about the LeBron and Stephen A. Smith confrontation. If you guys missed it, LeBron, in the middle of a game, goes up, goes over to Stephen A. Smith and says, "I'm only going to tell you one time, keep my son out of it," and then goes back to the bench. So it has obviously caused shockwaves around sports, ESPN, the NBA, all of those things. This is one of those instances where I think that everybody is right and everybody is wrong. I don't think that either of them are 100% right. I think life, like most things, it's usually a little bit more complex than that. Now, if you've been doing this job for any amount of time, an athlete has reached out to you to express disappointment, frustration, anger about something that you have said. It has happened multiple times. Now, I'm not here to give you guys names. These are private conversations, and I'm cool to keep them private conversations, but it comes with the territory. I have just made a very simple rule about how I'm going to operate and do this job is I try to keep my criticisms about sports. I don't care about your personal life. I don't care who you're with. I'm not here to discuss your family. I'm not here to discuss any of that. That's not my job. It only becomes my job if your family becomes the news. Your family becomes the news. If your mom goes on somebody else's porch and steals packages, I'm sorry. We have to talk about that on the show. I'm sorry. If your personal life is you being inappropriate in massage parlors, I'm sorry. We have to talk about that on the show. But all my criticisms, critiques are going to be about your performance at work. I think that's inbounds. That's what I get paid to do. Now, I don't have any problem with you expressing something that you think that I said was not right, not fair, over. And I'm happy to have that conversation. We're adults. We should be able to have that conversation. I don't think that our conversations need to be just me talking to you. You're allowed to speak too. That's what the phone line is for. That's what the text line is for. We're not here to suppress anybody. If you got an opinion, 913-586-7965, text you. Don't be racist. Don't be homophobic. Outside of that, say whatever you want on the text line. I'm not here to stop you. So I don't have any problem with LeBron going up to Stephen A. Smith and voicing his opinion. But, and this is my stance, this is going to be my universal stance on all of these things. I said this earlier in the week with Zeke Mayo. I'm going to say it now. This is the life that you have signed up for. Rob, we get a lot of cool things. I don't ever have to pay to go to a Royals game or park at a Royals game. I don't have to pay to go to Chiefs games anymore. Those are perks from the job. Rob, people just give us free stuff all the time. That is a perk for the job. One of the negatives of the jobs is sometimes people say mean things. I've signed up for that. If I don't want people to sign up to say mean things, I would just find new employment or find something else to do. Bronny, you have signed up to be an NBA player. You get a lot of cool things, I'm guessing, with that. You get to fly private, and you're a millionaire, and you get to meet really cool people. I'm sure there's a lot of really good pros to being a professional basketball player. I'm guessing one of the negatives is sometimes they talk about you on TV. That's going to happen from time to time. And where I'm critical of LeBron is you signed your son up for a grown man league. You signed your son up for grown man business. So he's going to be discussed like an adult. Your son is not good enough to be an NBA player. We don't got to make this personal, an indication of your parenting or none of those things. Your son's not good enough to be an NBA player. I've seen him play in college. I've seen him play in the NBA. I've seen LeBron James' kid play in person before. He ain't an NBA player. So any criticism that you have that is directed to that, I think is 100% inbounds. Now, I also know as a broadcaster, sometimes you put a little bit too much sauce on it. Sometimes you got a little bit too much dip on your chip. And that's where I don't have a problem with people saying, oh, I don't like that you said this. That's the checks and balances. I don't get to say whatever I want without penalty. Nobody gets the opportunity to do that. I don't care that this microphone is in front of me. You get the opportunity to say, I think you're wrong. That's perfectly fine with me. I also think because our world has become so much more digital and people spend all their time arguing with strangers over the phone that we forgot that sometimes people argue in person too. It didn't get physical. He didn't threaten them. He didn't put his hands on them. It was a very quick exchange. Sometimes the arguments that people have on the internet with strangers that they feel very empowered, sometimes some people stand on it enough that they say those things to people in real life. And it sounds to me like LeBron tried to have this conversation privately with Stephen A. Smith, and he didn't seem very receptive to it. So, all right, I tried the back channel ways. I reached out to you, or I had my agency reach out to you and communicate that we didn't like this. Now when I see you in person, it's on site. I'm going to tell you that I don't like it. I like that kind of energy. I will always appreciate that kind of energy. I think that Stephen A. usually, he normally fires off a lot of shots at people, and he gets paid a lot of money to fire those shots. And I think LeBron is being very overprotective of his son that he's not good enough to play in the NBA. I'm sorry. And you can't protect him from that. I don't care. Sports is one of those things. Eventually, we will find out whether you can shoot, whether you can defend, whether you can dribble, whether you can play. We will figure it out. And it is young. It is early in your kid's career. And he is having a very successful G League career, which kind of, I think, highlights to the most of us is he'd be better off if he was in college. We wouldn't be discussing him like this all the time if he was in college. If you let your kid go to Ohio State and he was on a Big Ten team trying to make the NCAA tournament, I think we'd be celebrating LeBron James' kid because he'd be having some success in college. But no, you decide to sign him up for the most public basketball team in the world. It's just criticism's going to happen. I'm sorry. Not all of it's fair. Yes, he gets talked about more than the number one overall pick and the number two overall pick. He is the most interesting rookie that was drafted this past year. It's a little bit different for him. And part of why it's different is because of you. And you just got to accept it. This is the life that you've signed up for. At this point, we're all adults and we all make choices. You know the pros and negatives that come with your job. And if you don't like it, find something else to do. If I didn't want you guys saying mean things to me on the text line, I would just find a job where they don't say mean things to you on the text line. I've made this choice. So it's not a big deal to me. Sure, we go back and forth. It's fun. I hope you guys know that it's a radio show. But at this point, I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. I signed up for this life. I'm not here to complain about it. It's the life that I've signed up for. So that is my thoughts on LeBron James and everything that is going on with him and Stephen A. Smith. Good luck to both of them. I'm not here to watch two brothers fight with each other. I want to see both of them succeed. LeBron's a billionaire. Stephen A. Smith just signed a 5-year, $100 million deal. LeBron is maybe the greatest basketball player that's ever lived. I'm not here to watch these two brothers fight with each other, but sometimes people fight and they argue with each other, and that's how things go. All right, Rob, let's talk about something local here. Let's get to the Kansas Jayhawks. You are going to Senior Day tomorrow. What are you expecting from Senior Day? Are you expecting tears, cheers, boos, excitement, disappointment? This has been a class that has gone through the roller coaster. I mean, DeJuan Harris has won Big 12 championships. He has cut down the nets. He also is a part of what you have called the most disappointing Kansas basketball team of your adult life. How do you expect tomorrow to be handled by KU fans who have followed these guys' career from start to finish?
So I think tomorrow is going to be fascinating from an off-the-court perspective. On the court, I actually think it's interesting, too, because Arizona is kind of going through a little swoon. Like, it actually has a chance to be a good basketball game. But that's never the story in Lawrence. It actually connects perfectly with the Stephen A. Smith conversation. There was a time where I felt like if you went to a KU game versus you were on Twitter during a KU game, you were two different types of people. Because there have been times where KU fans on Twitter were big mad, and I was at games, and the fan base did not feel the way Twitter felt. Which is not surprising that Twitter is more toxic than real life. But we've seen a couple little moments this year where the toxicity on Twitter has leaked into the game. I believe it was the K-State game. Could have been the Iowa State game. I apologize for not remembering. But I remember, like, there was a story that 2 minutes into the game, the student section started chanting, "We want Flory," very loudly at KJ Adams after he missed a shot early in the game. And the whole student section was after him. And the team addressed it after the game. Bill Self talked about it. KJ Adams talked about it. Yeah, we heard it. We know. I wish they would stop. It was a big deal. Like, it was in the Chiefs playoff run. But that was a story. So Twitter and that area would have you believe that Hunter Dickinson and KJ Adams and DeJuan Harris are going to get booed. I don't think that is going to happen, but I have seen pockets this year where what is said on Twitter turns into real life at Allen Fieldhouse. So I don't know it will be overwhelming cheers, especially for Hunter, but I don't know it will be boos. I think maybe for the first time in my life going to games, you might hear a spattering for players, which, as Matt Tate said earlier, kind of stinks for the player because they committed this to their last home game, and to get a spattering of boos would be awful. But I think DeJuan will get, you know, mostly appreciated, KJ too, but I think you might hear a spattering of boos for Hunter Dickinson. It would surprise me if it didn't happen, honestly.
I think what happened with DeJuan, and this is honestly a neutral observation of watching both of those guys play. I think there is a belief with KU fans, and it certainly comes honest. If you stay with Bill for 3 or 4 years, he can turn you into an All-American. I've seen Bill's formula work with dozens of players. I saw Jeff Withey come to Kansas as a guy who I didn't think could dribble and chew gum at the same time, and he turned him into an NBA player. I've seen him do this with countless number of guys. DeJuan Harris is, if you look at his numbers, he has not improved in 3 years. There are not many areas on the floor that I can point to. He is not a better shooter than he got there. He is not a better scorer than when he got there. DeJuan Harris has not improved the way that typical KU point guards do. I would say the same thing for KJ Adams. I have seen Bill Self take plenty of 6'8", 6'9", athletic, small forward, power forward type and turn that guy into a star. I don't think that's what KJ Adams turned into. I think the thing was, when they won the national championships, they had two high-end role players. I think DeJuan Harris is a high-end role player. And I think DeJuan benefited from the fact that you had two legitimate NBA wings you're passing the ball to. When you're the point guard and you got Christian Brown, who is actually having a really, really good season. Like, I don't think you guys want to know how much money Christian Brown is probably going to make in his NBA career. He is going to make a lot of money being a very quality low end starter. Sounds bad, but he's not like one of the three best players on the team. He's going to make a lot of money being like the fourth or fifth guy on your team or a great role player that will play double digit years in the league. Ochai hasn't really found his niche in the league. the way that Christian has, but he's also been in the league for 5 years. So, I mean, you're doing all right. You're all right. I think that those guys prop DeJuan up. And now that this KU team doesn't have a lot of guys that can just go flat out go get you a bucket. That's what Christian was when he was a senior. That's what Ochai was. The shot clock is running down. It's 11 seconds left. DeJuan passes the ball to Christian Brown. Christian Brown about to get open. He about to get an easy shot. It's going in the net, and you're about to go run on the other side and play defense. I think it's kind of exposed his limitations. The same thing with KJ when you just had other guys to lean on. And the problem is, when you won the championship, DeJuan was your fifth best player. KJ Adams was your fourth best player. Now you're asking those guys to be very critical offensively and defensively for what you're doing, and they're just not good enough to do it at a level that KU fans are used to. So I say this, and I'm not joking. I am very intrigued to see what KU does this offseason. They are starting over as a team. I bet if we look, Rob, of the five guys that are going to start on senior night, I don't know if any of those guys are coming back to play on next year's Kansas team. They have one of the best freshmen in college basketball. They have another freshman that's coming in, that Bryson Tiller kid that's probably, like a top 15 recruit. So they have two blue chip high school seniors that are coming in, and you know they're going to hit the portal running. And they're going to get really good transfers because they're Kansas and they got available minutes. And I'm guessing is the bag's going to be open. I'm assuming Adidas is chipping in. I'm assuming the boosters are chipping in. Hey, if you've had 2 years of being mediocre in the Big 12, you want to get back to where you were. And to get back where you were cost, it ain't cheap. To field a team that KU is used to putting on the court, it is not a cheap endeavor to do. So I think this is a very interesting fork in the road about where Kansas is going to go. There's a lot put on this recruiting class to come in and be instant starters for next year's team, and they're going to have to learn and adapt to the transfer portal a little bit better than we've seen them do so far. And this is very new. I know that KU is one in the NIL space, but when KU won in the NIL space, it wasn't the wild, wild west when it came to the transfer portal. You guys love Fedori, right? That's the kid's name, Fedori Badunga?
Flory Badunga.
My apologies. You know the kid that I'm talking about, yeah. Number 40. You know what I'm talking about. Every team in college basketball is going to be calling him to get him to try to transfer this offseason. I know they're not supposed to, and that's against the rules to be doing it, but we all know how this goes. Every team in college basketball is going to be calling him, offering him everything under the sun to get him to transfer. You got to keep him on the roster. You got to keep the Coit kid. You got to keep the guys that you want to keep. You got to re-recruit them too. So this is a very interesting offseason. This feels like one of the most important offseason in Bill Self's time at KU. You have had a lot of success, but the game has changed. The game has changed in a very short period of time. Just from when KU last won the national championship, college basketball is a drastically different sport in 4 years. You guys got to adapt to the modern game, how you attack offensively, how you score, how you recruit, how you do everything. KU's going to have to make some changes.
It's going to be a fascinating offseason. I will say this, and KU fans don't like when I say this, I'm not, whatever. I think KU tried to adapt to the modern game this last offseason. They just missed. Like, you call it transfer portal roulette, Carrington. That's what happened to Kansas. If it was April 17th of 2024, KU would have added Zeke Mayo, a shooter from a small school that was shooting the 40% from three. They would have added AJ Storr, one of the leading scorers in the Big Ten last year in college in a power conference in college basketball. They added Rylan Griffin, another 40% three-point shooter from a Final Four Alabama team. That was their big swing at guard and wing. That's what they went out and did. They missed on every single player. It's not this. I don't think Bill Self was recruiting saying, I'm going to play, slow and methodical 1952 basketball. I think he tried to take the big swing to adjust the modern game, and he went 0-for-3. But you're right. This offseason is fascinating because you can't go 0-for-3 again. You're going to have Darren Peterson. I do think they'll be able to re-recruit and keep Flory Badunga on the roster. I don't think Diggy Coit's going anywhere.
They shouldn't. I think both of them need to stay.
I think you have two other kids from Overtime Elite who are 4-star coming in. Yeah. I'm not saying they're different, but they're good players. Like, they have a chance to be good players.
You and I agree. This time is different in college basketball. If you are counting on 4 freshmen to come in,
you're not winning.
You are not winning the Big 12 with 4 freshmen next year. Not at all.
You got to hit in the portal. But I don't think Bill Self just forgot how to recruit. I just think sometimes you miss in the portal. That happened to Missouri last year. It happened to K-State a little bit this year. Sometimes
a lot of it
the best laid plans on paper
fail. And that's what happened to Kansas this year. It stinks as a Kansas fan, and it frustrates me that they still built around DeJuan and Dickinson and KJ, because I think those are somewhat flawed players, but Storr, Mayo, and Griffin were three moves that as a KU fan I was excited about, and they went 0-3. Like, it just, I'm curious how transfer portal roulette goes next year, because the odds are you don't keep going 0-3 every single season.
Yeah, and I mean, just knowing how college basketball is, there's going to be like one or two kids that you're thinking, oh boy. And there's going to be a couple of kids that, I mean, the same way you see free agency, if you're going to the highest bidder, KU will likely be the highest bidder and just will make the most sense. Like, KU will be fine, I think, in the portal. You're right. I think it's about how they fit. I think it's about how it works and how they're able to make moves. All right, let's play a little bit of Daniel Jeremiah. Let's do this. I'll make this the hits. We'll talk a little bit of NFL. Hit it, Rob.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Karen, as always, the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
All right, I want to start with this. Let's play the first hit. This is Daniel Jeremiah. He was on Pat McAfee's show talking about the number one overall pick. He thinks there's a chance that the Titans, maybe they're not feeling Cam Ward.
I would say up in the air on the first pick with the Titans. I wouldn't rule out Cam Ward there. I think that's still a legitimate possibility. The interesting thing would be if Rodgers gets done with the Giants. If Rodgers gets done with the Giants and you're in a kind of all-in right now, we need to win to, you know, survive, so to speak. To me, if you're sitting there and Travis Hunter's there and you're the Giants and I've got a chance to have Aaron Rodgers and I can go out on one side with Malik Nabers and maybe, you know, the first year, maybe we want Travis Hunter to just, you know, kind of focus more on offense. Man, that changes that offense real quick. I'm very interesting and very exciting. So that might pull the Giants out of the quarterback market, even at Aaron's age. I just think there's an urgency there. So that one is TBD. The Browns, I've been saying all along, made the most sense as a team that needed to take a quarterback. Now, talking to people around the league, there's some that say, okay, yeah, no, they're going to take a quarterback, but I wouldn't necessarily make it a lock that they're going to do with their first pick. Mm. They've done their homework on this second tier of quarterbacks as well, so don't rule that out.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying you never hit on the second tier of quarterbacks. Teams hit on that second tier all the time. But there, to me, appears to be a wide gap between Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, I even think Jackson Dart and Kyle McCord and Quinn Ewers and Will Howard and these other guys who I think are going to be drafted but are not elite premium prospects. Sometimes teams overthink this. I understand that there are exceptions to the rules. Jalen Hurts just won the Super Bowl, and he was a second-round draft pick. There are definitely guys that are second-round picks, have great careers, have great success, and I'm not saying that every guy that is drafted in the first round turns out to be a star. We all know that that's not the case. But look at the best. If you had to make a list and you had to tell me who you think are the 10 best quarterbacks in the league, I assure you that at least 8 of them were drafted in round 1. There is a reason you are getting the best prospects, and more times than not, the best prospects turn out to be the best pros. This is usually the case at every position, not just quarterback. The best wide receiver prospects, like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, turn out to be the best wide receivers in the league. Why do you overthink this? You're going to pass on drafting Cam Ward so you can draft the 5th or 6th best quarterback prospect? This is nonsense. If you're not taking Cam Ward with the number one overall pick, you have to trade it. It's that simple. The quarterback value, it's too much. What you can get back is too much. Sure, maybe you really like Abdul Carter. Take Travis Hunter, take a future number one overall pick, and be happy with how things have turned out for you if you're Tennessee, if you're not 100% confident on Cam Ward. All right, let's play this other cut. This is from Daniel Jeremiah. We've been talking about DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is on Seattle. Looks like he's going to go play for somebody else. The league thinks that he is heading to the East Coast. Here's where.
Everybody's saying DK to New England, man. Everybody in the league thinks that.
I like that, DJ. Keep spinning that wheel.
What do you mean in the league? Yeah. What do you mean? You're getting texts from people around the league saying...
No, Yeah, DK comes available. You just talk to a bunch of buddies around the league, and they're like, that just makes too much sense. They have all the money. They have all the space. They have no weapon. The high second-round pick, what are they picking, like 38, something like that?
Do you guys want to know how much cap space New England has? New England has $130 million in cap space. That money is burning a hole in their pocket. This ain't baseball. You have to spend the money. You don't have a choice. That's the rules. There's a salary cap ceiling, and we talk a lot about the ceiling. There also is a salary cap floor. We don't spend a lot of time talking about that, but you have to spend it. So New England, they're buying something, and they're probably going to buy something expensive because that's the league. So, yeah, I do think they're the favorite to go get DK Metcalf. You've got the draft pick compensation and the salary cap space, and you don't have any good wide receivers. That usually adds up to you being pretty aggressive. If you're worried about Ronnie Stanley or Cam Robinson or one of those left tackles, you know the team you need to be worried about taking them off the board? I'd be worried about New England. I'd be worried about New England putting a package together to go get DK Metcalf and Ronnie Stanley. They go get who they think the best two players on the board are, and they still got a top five pick for this year's NFL draft. Part of why you love the league is the parity and the ability to turn things around quickly. New England, with a new head coach, with some new weapons, increasing the talent, New England can go from one of the five worst teams in the league to being a team that could win their division very, very quickly if they play this offseason right. We'll keep talking NFL coming up on the other side. We'll also continue to talk some college basketball as we are entering the final weekend of the regular season. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got...
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This. I want to address these series of texts really quickly. I think it's pretty relevant with what we're talking about with free agency coming around. Someone on the text line says, "CDOT, that's because the players you're talking about are bad. They are typically out there for a reason. Teams typically don't win by signing big name free agents." I think there is a misconception about free agency, and maybe the media plays a part into it, fans play a part in it, all of it. The truth of the matter is, in the NFL, it is only really designed for you to keep around eight guys, cheap veterans, or rookie contracts. And if you usually have more than that, you have to make financial decisions. The Chiefs got rid of Joe Tooney. It was not because of performance. No one is debating on whether or not Joe Tooney is one of the best players in the NFL and certainly one of the best players at his position. But once you reach a point in the contracts, and with the way that the league is structured from a financial standpoint, the Chiefs only had two options. You either could trade the contract or extend the contract. But the fact that Joe Tooney was traded for a future fourth-round pick, I think should tell you this. The Chiefs were close to cutting Joe Tooney. Now, a team was going to give you something. Like, we saw a team trade for Christian Kirk. A team was going to give you something, but cutting Joe Tooney, despite showing you that he is the best left guard in the NFL and he was a very productive left tackle in a pinch, should go to show you that the financials of this matter. The truth of the matter is, in free agency, is you usually need a combination of all of it. So sometimes when Rob and I go back and forth, sometimes Rob's way is right and my way is right. You are not going to win if you are not aggressive in free agency. The Eagles needed a running back last year. Hey, we're not going to wait to draft it. Let's go spend the money and let's go get a running back. All right, we got it. Tampa Bay, hey, we feel like we got a championship-level roster. We need to go to free agency to find our quarterback. They did. Now, sometimes it's not just a form of free agency. Your team also needs to win trades in order to do it. So I know we talk about the importance of the draft, and I'm not telling you, that's always step one because that's when you get them at their cheapest. You get them on a rookie deal. But eventually, you're either going to miss and you draft a Felix Onyedike. You still need pass rush. Hey, you got to go fix pass rush now. You don't have until 2028 to wait till this guy pans out. No, we need pass rush for week three against the Lions. So we got to go to free agency to do it. So I understand. You don't want to be the Washington football team from back in the day where you go out in free agency and you spend a lot of money on 30-year-olds. That's usually not the way to do it. But it has to be some kind of combination of all of those things. You either got to trade for an A.J. Brown because you missed on a wide receiver, or you got to go pick up a Saquon Barkley, or you got to go trade for a Frank Clark because you need somebody to change your defense, or you go sign a Tyrann Mathieu, and then you go get Justin Reed. So the Chiefs, I think, are going to spend money in free agency. I think the debate now is, what are they going to spend money on? The league is designed for you to spend money. They don't just keep making the cap number go open up for you to just keep your own players. No, it is to cycle through the league, and this guy gets paid, and then the market gets reset, and you know the finances of the game are always changing. So I am not anti-free agency, just like anything. It's not the only way to build your team. It is a part of the process. And we are now entering the free agency process. It starts on Monday, and I expect the Chiefs are going to be players in free agency. I think we're just trying to figure out how and where.
I also think, and this is part of the nature of free agency, and this is not knocking the Chiefs. It's just, this is how free agency works. If you hit the open market, you tend to get overpaid. It just, that's the nature of the beast. So we are going to get a text the next week when free agency happens. Oh, can you believe player X? He's overpaid. Yes. Because that's what happens when there's a bidding war. There is no bidding war when it's a draft or you're re-signing a player. It's you versus you. It's a one-on-one negotiation. But name a free agent is going to make more money if there are more teams interested. So
as someone who comes off a little more anti-free agency than you, like the idea of spending big, I understand that there's a he made the open market tax. And sometimes you have to pay that tax to get the player. Look at the Chiefs with Juwan Taylor. They 100% overpaid for him. You want to know why? Because there's probably another team that wanted Juwan Taylor. So you had to beat that team because it's just pure money. So, yes, it's free agency is a necessary evil, maybe a required thing you have to go through, but yeah, there's always people who get overpaid, and yeah, you don't want to build entirely through free agency because it's cheaper, cost effective, and better to build with the draft, but you have to do both. Like you mentioned the Eagles. Name all the teams that were in the Final Four last year. The Bills drafted their quarterback, but they signed free agents. They traded for Von Miller. It didn't work, or signed Von Miller. It didn't work, but they added him. That was a move they made. They signed Mac Hollins in free agency. That was a move they made. You mentioned the Eagles. The Commanders, their big move last year, they got Austin Eckler. Did they overpay for running back? Absolutely, but that's what you do in free agency.
Yeah, I also think it's much more important of again, you got to spend money. There's a salary cap floor. You can't just have all rookie contracts on your team. There has to be a balance of kind of all of those things. It's much more to me about how you spend the money. Like, you and I both think that they need to spend money at left tackle. Like, you and I are not coming in here where, hey, you got to address this in the draft. No, you are probably going to, because you have missed in the draft and because of where you select, it's going to cost you a little bit of money. And where you and I are on different pages about how much it should cost you. Do you want to go get a Ronnie Stanley and pay the tax of you've missed, so now you want a little bit of long-term security? Or do you want to continue to have the veteran one-year deal? Or maybe you go Cam Robinson. Like, I don't know if we talked enough about Cam Robinson as a realistic option for the Chiefs. He's a guy who has been pretty good, pretty healthy. That guy is going to get paid in free agency. Like, Cam Robinson is going to get a nice contract from somebody, and there's a team right now that is looking for a left tackle, and he plays that position. Like, we've spent a lot of time talking about Ronnie Stanley because he is the best one. Cam Robinson might be a realistic option for the Chiefs at the position. Guy's been healthy. Guy's played in multiple systems. Big, physical. Cam Robinson would make sense if that's the guy that they want to go out there and get. Let's talk a little bit of college basketball here. I know we're up against it, Rob. Missouri plays. They play Kentucky tomorrow. These are two teams that if you want to see two teams run up and down the court and you want a fast, energetic, fast-paced game, that's what Missouri versus Kentucky is going to be. These are two teams that can score. And these are two teams that have not shown you that they can stop the other team from scoring. This is a 96-94 kind of game. This is going to be a very intense up and down, hit threes, fast break, layups, dunk. It is going to be a lot of those things. I would give Missouri the slight advantage in that matchup because they're at home. But I think Missouri and Kentucky this year are 6 in one hand, half a dozen in the other. I think seeding would tell you that they are 6 in one hand, half a dozen in the other. I think that Kentucky is a 4, Missouri is a 5. They are very, very close to each other. I do think it's going to be a very entertaining, fun game to watch tomorrow in Columbia, Missouri for their senior day. All right, we'll put a bow on this thing next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. Hopefully you guys had a great week. All right, I want to play some audio that we have just forgotten to play throughout the week. It's not Rob's fault. It's not my fault. We just forgot it. And I want to send you on your merry way, and we'll be back on Monday. Let's start with Deion Dawkins. Now, for those of you that don't know who Deion Dawkins is, he plays on the offensive line for the Buffalo Bills. He was on The Pivot, you know, those athlete podcasts. Go up there, you know, talk, you know, share some stories, do all of that. Well, Deion Dawkins feels that Buffalo would have performed better in the Super Bowl than Kansas City. Here's what he said.
When it happened, I was like, been here before, 13 seconds, it sucks. You know, like, we lost again. And one game away, boo-hoo, you know, but it's over with. I walked off of the field. I gave Chris Jones a hug. I said, good luck, bro. Go and get another one. And it was over with. I closed that door immediately. My mind was immediately off from that When we got on the bus, I ain't complain about nothing. I didn't say we should have did this. It was over with. I was already done. I said, cool, I'm home. I'm going back to Buffalo. The season's over. I don't got to get up and go to practice or workout in the morning. It's over with. And now, after going to the Super Bowl and seeing it and feeling those emotions, you know, I'm like, damn, this is us. Like we would have did this. Not to say that we would have like went in there and just beat the Eagles, because it would have been we would have had a chance. And we would have had a better chance.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's not how any of this works, brother. Maybe you would have. I'm not here to tell you one way or the other. I mean, the Chiefs were down 40-6. I mean, it is hard to get dominated worse than Kansas City did in the Super Bowl. That's not how it works. You had a game before then. You lost. You know what Buffalo is? They are the shoulda, coulda, woulda all-stars. Do you have somebody in your life, or maybe you've had somebody in your life, or, you know, I don't know. But have you known a person that has all of these ideas but no execution? Oh, man, I woulda, but you didn't. Oh, man, if that was me, but it's not. That's who Buffalo is. Oh, man, if we had got the coin flip, well, you didn't. You lost. Oh, if we had gone to the Super Bowl, but you haven't. Since the mid-90s, I don't want to hear your shoulda, coulda, woulda stories. I don't want to hear your Uncle Rico stories. No, you weren't good enough. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. So maybe you guys would have put up a better game. Maybe it would have been a more enjoyable Super Bowl. I'm not here to tell you one way or the other. It's possible, right? It's possible that it would have been a better Super Bowl. It's possible. We will never know, because you can't beat Kansas City. So I don't want to hear about that. If you can't beat Kansas City, there's no reason for us to be having this conversation. You're not good enough. Quite simple. You're not good enough. So thanks, but no thanks. All right, that's one thing we didn't get a chance to talk about. Let's get to thing number two. Mark Cuban, you guys remember him? He was on Shark Tank. He used to own the Mavericks. We finally get Mark's Cuban thoughts on sending Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers. Here's what he said.
And I've said this before, if the Mavs are going to trade Luka, that's one thing. Just get a better deal. You know, no disrespect to Anthony Davis, but, you know, get three. If I still firmly believe if we had gotten four unprotected number ones and Anthony Davis and Max Christie, this would be a different conversation.
Would you ever have traded Luka Doncic?
I'm not going to go there.
Well, the answer is no. Then that's why. I mean, I will say this. I know that not all of you are NBA fans. The NBA has been really interesting since the trade deadline. It's been really, really interesting. The Lakers are very interesting. Golden State is very interesting. I, like most NBA fans, hey, I'm ready to go ahead and fast forward this thing. Let's just get to the postseason, man. Let's get to the postseason. I'm ready. We've played enough regular season games. Let's go ahead and let's get to the postseason. The Lakers look like a legitimate championship contending team. The Cavs, to see if they can actually close this thing out. Boston looks really good. I actually started watching the Boston documentary yesterday, Celtics City.
Is that good? I don't know why that exists. Do we really need a Celtics documentary?
Bill Simmons. I mean, if you want the real answer. Right.
That's a good, correct answer.
Yeah, Bill Simmons wanted a Celtics documentary, and he got, I mean, literally everybody. They got everybody to do it. I watched the first episode. If you can name a Celtic, they're in this documentary. So, you know, to tell the stories, and they are one of the, you know, three most story franchises in NBA history, I certainly understand why they have their own, you know, story. Now it's eight parts and they're an hour a piece. Am I that interested in the Boston Celtics history? But, you know, stories, it's NBA, it's modern, it's race, it's sports, it's all of that stuff all in one story. It definitely is a very interesting story, a very intriguing story. Rest in peace to Bill Russell and Bill Walton, shouting out legendary Celtics guys who are no longer with us. Rob, what do you have up this weekend, man? We only got 2 minutes left in the show. What do you have planned? You got senior day tomorrow.
Got senior day in Lawrence.
Are you going
tomorrow
to the Basil Leaf Cafe? You got to go to the Basil Leaf Cafe.
We
for
are
me,
not man. Going to the Basil Leaf Cafe.
Why can't you go to the Basil Leaf?
We already have plans that don't involve the Basil Leaf for tomorrow.
Wow, that's crazy.
We have our
Caroline hates the Basil Leaf.
We don't have any problem with the Basil Leaf. We have our spots that we hit before games, and the Basil Leaf is not going to make the cut for tomorrow. So I got senior day tomorrow, and just nothing on Sunday.
Okay, well, that's kind of what life is like when there's no football. Yeah. Man. Is there even any college?
I mean, it's daylight savings time, so I'm going to be waking up thinking it's an hour later than it is. That's going to, or earlier than it is. It's going to be great.
Is there any college basketball even on Sunday, or is that just, that's probably some smaller games. Michigan State is on Sunday.
That's a good one.
If you're looking for something to watch.
Yeah. Nice little primer before NCAA tournament.
Gotta love a little primer. You gotta love one of those. I'm all for it.
You're going to Columbia tomorrow, aren't you?
I am. I'm planning on it. Yeah, I'm planning on going to Mizzou, Kentucky. I think it's going to be a very good game.
What time do you have to leave? Like, I admit, fully admit, I acknowledge, as a KU fan, I'm spoiled because the school's
early.
30 minutes down the road.
You got to leave at like 8 o'clock. If they play at 11, you got to leave at like 8. Yeah, it's early. Someone on the text line says, the good time of the year for high school basketball. I assume you're going to a game. I actually am going to one later today. I will be at the North Kansas City Staley game, actually. So I am. That is what I'm doing right when I leave here.
Shout out Coach Fritz. Is he still there? Yeah.
He is. Yeah, he is. He is still the coach.
Is Sharon at Staley? No,
he's at Oak Park.
Oak Park.
He's
okay.
Oak Park. Yeah, they're the best team in the city. Yeah, no. So I went to a high school basketball game Wednesday. I went to Lincoln. They played Van Horn. I know people on both sides, you know, family, friends, nieces, nephews, all that kind of stuff. So I was, it is a very exciting time. I saw a tweet. I forgot who put it out there. If you add up the Big 12, men's, women's, the NAIA, there are 57 college basketball games in Kansas City over the next 3 weeks. Crazy. 57 college basketball games. So hopefully you guys go out there.
I like the NAIA tournament. NAIA tournament's for fun.
Yeah.
Cheap ticket, get in.
Yeah.
You get to see.
You also got to count the MIAA tournament, the men's and the women's. You know me. You know I'm a lion at heart. Rawr. Like my little row. You like that?
I mean, I'm just cheering for Jeff Boshi.
No, that's real. No, I don't like him. I don't like Jeff Boshi.
You got multiple reasons to hate Jeff Boshi.
I don't like
now.
Jeff Boshi, man. Nah, he did me kind of wrong. I don't like Jeff Boshi. He has come on the show before, so shout out to Jeff Boshi. I had a lot of fun today, man. Hopefully you guys had a lot of fun. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourself, man. And we'll be back next week, man. Until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.